So who knows what the next big holiday event is that's coming up? Come on. Pittsburgh Steelers training camp in 11 days. Woohoo! Yeah! Oh, I love training camp. What I love about training camp is you've been waiting since April and the draft to see who's going to come in. Who's going to make the team? Who's not going to make the team? What players are going to be the ones that stand out that you say, oh, this is somebody that's going to make an impact on our team? And it's exciting to see which cream rises to the top. Will there be another one like a number of years ago when sixth-round Antonio Brown became one of the best receivers in all NFL? This is the time of wondering, who is it going to be? Who's going to be that great new player to emerge to help lead your team to another championship? The people in Jesus' day were wondering the same about him. This young prophet doing amazing things, healing, teaching, connecting. Could he be the promised one from Holy Scripture? Indeed, could he even be the Messiah? The one to lead his people to freedom? He taught with power. His words excited the imagination of the Israelites. He used language of seed time and harvest, language that had been a picture throughout all of Scripture of how God the Creator would act to redeem his people from their sins. How he would rescue them from exile. How he would deliver them from oppression. And now this young preacher comes and he begins talking about a new harvest. Could he be the one? The one that we've been waiting for throughout these generations. It's no wonder that the crowd, eagerly listening, standing while he sat, that after all is the proper position for a teacher. The teacher is the one who sits and the people stand. He teaches from a boat on the shores of Galilee, this wonderful natural amphitheater. The hills rise up out of the sea, out of the lake of Galilee. And there have been people who have stood on the lakeside and been able to preach. And so you can imagine there are hundreds, thousands of people could gather to hear this young, itinerant preacher. He uses language that excites them. Sowers and seed and soil, but obstacles. The kingdom of God come near. Over the generations, there have been many interpretations of this parable of Jesus of seeds and soil. Some see it as a parable of the history of Israel, of God sending kings and prophets and priests, and some being received well, some not so well. Others see this as a parable of the difficulty of establishing that kingdom of God. Still others see it as a parable of personal responsibility, as seed and receptivity, as soil to the word of God. And still others, a parable on the need of spiritual seed sowing and God's power to be able to accomplish God's purposes. The message isn't obvious. We have to think about it. We have to ponder it. The word that's often used in religious and spiritual circles is discernment. Not just judging from right from wrong, but seeking to understand what is primary to what is secondary, what is essential to what is insignificant. Seeking after God's heart and God's will, the things that are in the Bible that really matter to God. Cultivating discernment helps you and I to grow spiritually. Because after all, people rush really too quickly to judgment. Unfounded gossip, presumed guilt, quick condemnation. We're quick to have something to say. But discernment slows down that process and allows God to enter into our decision-making. That's why Jesus says, "Let anyone with ears listen." Martin Luther, in his lecture on Galatians, tells us that listeners of God's word need to become active listeners to the needs and the hurts of others, and also active servants to neighbor and to God. And whenever our pastors are engaged in counseling, it's important for us to do what's called active listening, focused listening on the need of the other who is before us. Indeed, all of us in our relationships should be engaged in active listening, because we truly care about those with whom we are in relationship. Discernment leads to commitment. In his book, The One-Minute Manager, Ken Blanchard says, there's a difference between interest and commitment. When you're interested in doing something, you do it only when it's convenient. When you are committed to something, you accept no excuses. To be good soil is to be a person who is committed to serving Christ to the best of their abilities. To be a person who is willing to make sacrifices. Sacrifices that are necessary in the serving of Christ's kingdom. People who work and witness to bear fruit that does not perish. Our responsibility is to open ourselves up to God's prompting, to pursue His Word, to understand and to learn from it, and to bring that understanding to the church and to the world with patience and hopeful expectation that the final victory belongs to our God through Jesus Christ. Let anyone with ears listen. God has many things to do in history. He has created the natural world and everything that is in it. He cares for nations and individuals. He set the sun and the stars in their courses. But His most important job, His delight and His joy, is sowing the seeds of His word for the benefit of His creation, the benefit of you and me. In Matthew's gospel, all of the other activities of God are secondary, because there's power in seeds. Life springs forth from seeds. It feeds individuals and families and communities, and it becomes a bountiful harvest. The word that's used in the Bible here is the Greek word didomai, to bring forth. It has the connotation of bringing forth a gift. And in the New Testament, it's often used to describe Jesus' gift of love in the giving of His life. That is the kind of bringing forth that is promised to you and to me, brothers and sisters. And at the center of this story is the word, the seed. Nothing else seems to matter. For all of our spiritual disciplines, reading, prayer, Lectio Divina, or even just communing with nature, God has given us the freedom as individuals to find that unique path for each one of us, left open as long as the Word of God is at the center of all of it. And the Bible promises then you will have fruit, right faith, living generously, fruitful faith. It rises out of our interaction with that Word of God. Our task is to be receptive to the seed, that special word that God has for each one of us and collectively as a community of faith. The bearing of fruit can come to us in so many different ways. As Jesus says, we might experience abundance 100-fold or 60-fold or 30-fold. But all of our spiritual work begins at the feet of Jesus, listening to God's word. Matthew, the writer of our gospel, is the only one to call it the word of the kingdom. Language that infuses every aspect of our spiritual life. Paul in Romans says that faith comes by hearing. Martin Luther used to call the church a mouth house, a place where there is speaking and listening in readings and sharing and preaching and teaching and listening. And the early reformers had one of their early mottos, sola scriptura, only scripture, only the Bible, a motto for their movement within the church Catholic. It doesn't mean that it will be easy for you and for me. There will be lots of pitfalls for us to watch out for. There will be hard paths in your life, rocky times to shake your faith, and moments of pain that stick your soul and lead to doubt and uncertainty. But if we were open, if we open our hearts as good soil, receptive to God's word, you and I will come to know the abundance of life in God's kingdom through Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.